And I apologize about my voice. This is why I like cold weather, because when we go from hot to cold to hot, my voice just escapes me. So I apologize for that. You're going to have to sit through this. I really apologize. But I've been trying to douse my throat in honey. But anyway, it was really neat to talk with the team about all the different opportunities that they had there in New York and all the different really cool ways that they saw God move. I would encourage you guys to go and to go up to one of those four and ask them, tell me more about your trip. Because I told Dave, I said, hey, let's have a video and let's have it about 5 minutes. And he came into my office multiple times. He said, okay, we're down to 10 minutes now. I edited it down to 7 minutes now. I think we ended up at 6:15, I think that was. But that just shows you how much material he had to cut and how much more is on their heart. So please go talk with them and hear more about what God is doing on campuses. College ministry, it's really neat to see the opportunities that arise. If you have your Bibles, open up to Colossians chapter 3. We have really had this unique and neat time as we are walking through Colossians. Not only are we understanding who Jesus is, we're also understanding the good news of the gospel, and we're also looking and seeing what God is calling us to do. Really, what we have looked at in these last few weeks is the definition of a transformed life. As we have spent time in chapter 3 here, now we are looking at what are we as believers, people who know who Jesus is, people who have put our trust in Jesus, the person and work of Jesus Christ. And as we've looked at that, we have seen what really we as believers should look like, what we as believers should do, what we as believers should think, the things that we ought to put off, and now the things that we ought to put on. Really, as I've spent the last couple of weeks and months looking through these passages, it has just brought a great sense of comfort to me to see that our God, in His wisdom, in His providence, in His knowledge, and just His goodness, has literally laid out everything we need for life and godliness. In fact, in the book of Peter is writing to some folks, and he's saying, here in the Word of God, He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. This is a good God that just doesn't leave us on our own. He doesn't just leave us in this spot where we just gotta try to stumble through life and figure it out. No, He has revealed Himself to us. And in revealing Himself to us, He has promised to work in us. And this really picks up where we are looking at today. We're looking at verses 16 and 17. And after we recognize that we as believers ought to put on the new life, the newness of life that we can have in Christ Jesus, as we've understood the peace that we ought to allow God to rule in our heart, the peace of Christ, that really it surpasses all understanding, we ought to look different. In verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Think about that just for a moment. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Have you ever been talking with someone, and as you're talking with them, you can kind of get a sense of where from the country they're from, right? Maybe you hear a southern accent. Maybe you hear an East Coast accent. Maybe people say beg instead of bag, right? Maybe people just have a really bad voice at the moment, and you're just thinking, wow, you know, is he done yet, right? But you can oftentimes find out where somebody is by the way that they talk, right? The way that they sound. I've also found this, that there are times where I'm able, because I love books, I read everything I can, and there's often times where I'm talking with somebody and I pick up, I go, you know, are you a C.S. Lewis fan? Yeah. Have you have you spent some time reading Charles Dickens? And it's amazing because if we really like read something enough, we actually start to talk like that. There's been times where Ashley, she goes, "Why do you talk like that?" And I go, "Well, I read a lot of things from the 1800s and 1900s. And it goes, "Yeah, it's weird, right?" There are just certain phrases that come out of us. And it's not because we're trying. It's not because we're trying to be weird or be different. It's just because we have been influenced by what we intake. Well, as we look at this phraseology, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you." Have you ever come across somebody that you're talking with them and you don't know if they're a believer or not, right? You've just met them, but within the first couple of minutes, you stand back and you say, "That person knows Jesus. That person, they know their Bible." Have you ever come across somebody that way? Why? Because the word of Christ is dwelling richly in them. What they have intaked is now flowing out of them. The Bible is so cool. As we look at the Bible, there's so many different things that we realize. If first we go to John chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 1, what do we read? We read that God has chosen to reveal himself to humanity. He's chosen to tell us who he is. In John chapter 1, we read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that no one has seen God, the invisible God, who as at the right hand of the Father, he has made him known. And we read Hebrews chapter 1, we read that long ago, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets, and there's all this different system that we finally were able to get the Word of God, but now, today, in our time, he has now spoke to us through his Son. He's revealed himself to us through Jesus Christ. Earlier in our series in Colossians, we looked and saw how Jesus is the image of the invisible God, how the fullness of deity dwells in him bodily, and that in Jesus we have the ultimate form of special revelation. But it doesn't stop there. God, who is infinite, who is upholding the universe with his strong and mighty right hand, God, he has chosen to reveal himself. Can you, like, just fathom that for a moment? God, who is above and beyond, who is infinite, who is transcendent, he cares about you enough. He loves you enough to tell you who he is, to reveal himself to you, to make it possible that you could know this infinite, incredible God. He's that personal. And he doesn't just do this willy-nilly. He takes this very, very seriously. In fact, if we were to look at the Bible, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that the Bible is breathed out by God, inspired by God. As we think about that truth, as we think about that incredible way that we got the Word of God, the Bible, as we think about that, I really have to pause. Because I realize that this Bible, this Holy Scripture, this revelation from God, it's not just happenstance. It's not just a bunch of guys that got together and wrote a couple of really good books and smushed them together, called it the biblical canon, and say, "Yay, we got 66. This is great." No, this is God who is taking time, who is personally breathing out these scriptures. He is inspiring and carrying the authors along so that you and I could get to know him. The longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119. And you know what the longest chapter in the Bible is all about? The Bible. It's all about the Word of God. It's all about God's law. It's all about how beautiful this is. And how much we need it. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. And we skip down a couple of verses. We get, how can a young man keep his way pure? by guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Open my eyes, a couple of verses later, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things about your law. A couple of verses later, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. How often are we so consumed with worthless things? How often are our eyes so transfixed on worthless things instead of the written, revealed word of God? Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation, according to your promise. He has promised things to us here in his words, and we can stand on these promises. A couple of verses later, my soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. Are you understanding the theme here of this longest chapter in the Bible? There's this beauty in the word that God has given us. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. As we look at this longest chapter in the Bible, you are my hiding place, my shield. I hope in your word. As I read this, again and again, I'm confronted by the beauty of God's word, by the fact that we can find everything we need here in God's word. And then I take a step back and I say, how sad is it that so many of us neglect God's word? How sad is it that so many of us choose to fill our time, our attention with worthless things, with things that are fleeting? Maybe we read stuff. Maybe we read stuff online or on headlines. Maybe we're diverting our attention to the things that would bring us stress and anxiety. We're looking at the things that would cause us to momentarily be satisfied, but we walk away feeling empty. Why don't we spend more time meditating, focusing on, reveling in God's word? If God truly has made himself known to us, don't we want to listen to what he has told us? Have you ever heard someone say, you know, I would believe in God if he would just talk to me? You ever heard somebody say that? Or you know what, like, they say, you know, if I heard an audible voice telling me I'm God and I love you, then maybe I would follow him. My advice to those folks is just to listen to the Bible on audio tape, right? Because that's the reality. We have the most beautifully written love letter in all of human history. The most incredible thing that has ever been given to us, the fact that God has written to us. He has given us a message. He has given us his word. He has shown himself to us through his word. And so many of us just act like that's not a big deal. So many of us just choose to go and say, yeah, the Bible's great, but I need to learn to be a better Christian, so I'm going to go and I'm going to read all these books about being a better Christian. That's like me saying, okay, I want to be a better husband, so I'm going to go to Ashley's best friend and ask her, hey, could you tell me about Ashley so I can be a better husband? Does that make sense to you? No. Why don't we just go to the source? And I'm trying really hard not to bring the hammer down too much on us. But because my voice is gone, I feel like I could kind of say anything right now. And you guys may not take it all, right? So read your Bibles. I've heard it said multiple times, we have to have three conversations a day. We got to talk about God to people. We got to talk to God in prayer. And we got to let God talk to us by reading his word. It is not possible for the word of Christ to dwell richly in you if you don't spend time in his word. It's not possible. It's let me give you one more example. How many of you, and I've been there, right? How many of you, let's transport us back to high school. And you're sitting in class, and the teacher, you know that they're going to call on you. And they're going to ask you a question about the assignment. And you know you did not read it. You didn't do the assignment. Whatever it is, you didn't do it. But you looked at the spark notes, or maybe you had your friend say, hey, what's this about, right? And then the teacher, they call on you, and you're able to kind of say, okay, well, the XYZ, you're able to kind of repeat what your friend said or what you read on the back of the cover. And everyone else in the class, they're kind of snickering because they know that you didn't do the assignment. They know, don't they? Right? It's so painfully obvious. Folks, it is so painfully obvious that the word of Christ is not dwelling richly in us. It is so painfully obvious if we try to trick each other into thinking that we're spiritual. It's so painfully obvious if we try to say, hey, you know, I'm just gonna say some words, and they're Christian words. They're spiritual type words. I've heard Josh say them, so I'm just gonna string these words together, and it doesn't really make any sense. It's so painfully obvious that we're just trying to make something up. Folks, we gotta let the word of Christ dwell richly in us. Why? Because that's how we're transformed. We're not transformed by being able to repeat something that we heard once. We're not transformed just simply by showing up at church and saying, yep, okay, check it off the list. No, we are transformed by reading God's word and getting to know him more. Because the more that we get to know him, the more beautiful we'll see him as. And the more beautiful we'll see him as, the more we'll want to live like him. The more that we see God as he is, the more that will change us and transform us. The more he will continue to penetrate our hearts, to transform our hearts. So let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is the second point that we got to think about as believers. Not only does the word of Christ need to dwell richly in us, but also the worship that we have together as a local church, as a family of God, that truly matters. And on the one hand, Sunday matters, right? Sunday, this is the time where we come together and we worship God. This is the time where we come together as the family of God and we proclaim the goodness of God. We proclaim who God is, what God's done, and who we now are in light of that. Our worship truly matters. We ought to spur one another on in righteousness. We ought to encourage one another. We need to teach one another, admonish one another. We need to do that. And that primarily, that happens on a Sunday morning, but it doesn't only happen on a Sunday morning. A Sunday morning is kind of like, it's kind of like halftime, right? You think about a game, right? A baseball game, a football game, whatever it is. And typically, during halftime, the team huddles up together and they get a speech. They get a time where they get to, push each other and say, hey, come on, you gotta keep doing that. And then they get back out on the field. But when they're back out on the field, they're not alone. When they're back out on the field, they're still with one another. They're still yelling and chatting at one another and still encouraging one another to keep fighting, to keep going. And so as believers, we look at the Sunday morning gathering and we say, this is kind of like the highlights of our week. This is the time where we come together and we have that rah-rah speech. But then the rest of the week, that's the time where we get back out on the field, but we're still going to see each other. We're still going to encourage one another. We're still going to admonish one another. We're still going to call one another up and say, hey, how are you doing today? How can I pray for you? Hey, what's going on right now? Is there a way that I can encourage you? Hey, guess what I just read this morning in my devotional? It was really impactful for me. Can I share it with you? Because it might be really impactful for you too. As we see one another throughout the week, we ought to encourage one another. We ought to admonish one another. We ought to spur one another on. This is what true worship is. It's not just something that happens for us hour on a Sunday morning. It's the life of the church. The local, the rhythms of the local church that happen all week long. And then Paul uses these three terms: psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This is not original with me by any means, but there's been scholars and different Bible teachers throughout history that have kind of broken these down in three things down in three ways. Psalms. We ought to encourage and sing and tell one another the Psalms, God's word. And there's awesome beauty in this. As we sing songs that are just straight scripture, as we sing songs and encourage one another and recite scripture to one another, this is encouraging. Why? Because the word of Christ ought to dwell richly in us. Because we are encouraged and changed and transformed by hearing, by speaking, by sharing, by singing the word of God. So as we look at Psalms, we say, okay, that's God's word. Well, what's a hymn? Again, this is not original with me, but these are songs about God. These are things that we proclaim. This is who our God is. Our God is faithful. Our God is true. Our God is alive. These set of songs that, again, Paul calls them hymns, these are things that we just simply proclaim to one another and to the world. This is the God that we're worshiping. This is who our God is. But then what about spiritual songs? Okay, we got the word of God. We got songs about God. Then what would be these spiritual songs? These are songs that we are singing to one another. Look what God has done in me. Let me show you, let me tell you, well, let me encourage you what God has done in you, what God can do to you. As the church, as a family, we ought to encourage one another with God's word. We ought to sing and talk and speak God's word. We ought to tell each other about who our God is. And we ought to remind each other of who we are. We've been doing this the last month or so as we've been going through chapter 3. We've been looking at who we can now be in Christ Jesus. We'll continue on. Says this, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word, we're in verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. Everything that we do in word and deed and thoughts, everything we do, we ought to do in the name of Jesus. Why? Because we are representing him to a dead and dying world. We're also representing him to one another. So if everything that we do it in the name of Jesus. Everything that we say in the name of Jesus. Everything we think, we're thinking, this is what Jesus would want from me. And so this is an evidence of a transformed life, is everything that happens in the life of the local believer and in the life of the local church. Everything is done in the name of Jesus. Why? Because we're Christians. Because we're little Christs. Because we are carrying his message, the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and the fact that he's coming again. We're carrying that to a dead and dying world that needs to know what true hope is. And we're also carrying that message to one another. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes life is hard, isn't it? Sometimes we need encouragement. Sometimes we look at tomorrow and we say, I don't know how I'm going to get through it. We look at the problems and the stressors and the things that come and sneak their way in. We look at the broken relationships. We look at the bills. We look at the medical results. We look at all these things and they get overwhelming. But when we remember who Jesus is and what he's done and the hope that we have in him, this living, eternal hope that we have in him, all the things of earth to talk, speaking of hymns, grow strangely dim. All these things, they seem to matter a little bit less when we have that heavenly perspective, that heavenly mindset. Folks, we need one another to remind one another of this living hope that we have in Jesus. We need one another to remind one another of the good news of the gospel. You need to hear from me, hey, the things you're going through right now, God knows. He cares. But he's still good. He's still in control. And you don't know how you're going to get through them, but he does. And let me remind you of the hope that you have. You're going through a hard time right now. You're mourning. Yes, I know that you're mourning. I'm sorry that you have experienced that loss. I know that it's heavy on your heart, but let me remind you of a truth found in his word that we mourn. Yes, we mourn, but we mourn not as those without hope, because we have hope. We have hope in the resurrection. We have hope in the gospel. We have hope because of Jesus. Do you understand why we need to do these things in the name of Jesus? Why we need to encourage each other with these things? It helps us get through today. It helps us get through tomorrow. It helps remind us of who we are, of whose we are. And the last point, we've read it twice, a couple times now, but in two verses, twice, Paul reminds us to be thankful. He reminds us of the importance of thankfulness. And it just happens that we read these verses that the same week that Thanksgiving is happening, right? But that's not a coincidence, because I would say the command, the reminder to be thankful is all throughout Scripture. So the chances of us talking about Thanksgiving, thankfulness right before Thanksgiving, they're pretty high as we read the Bible. Why? Because we as believers have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? We as believers have a lot to thank God for. Thankfulness should be oozing out of us. Why? Because we are free. Because we're forgiven. And yes, life may not be perfect. Yes, we may be going through trials and struggles. Yes, all these things may be piling up and we feel overwhelmed and we don't know what to do next. But boy, don't we have a lot of reasons to be thankful? Chiefly among them, the fact that we can have salvation in Jesus Christ. Chiefly among them, that we can know what true life, what true love, what true hope means because of what Jesus has done for us. So, believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, allow the word of Christ to dwell richly in you. Be in love with God's word. And the more that you are just drenched in joy and love for God's word, the more it will be a joy to know him and to love him. In everything we do, let's do it in the name of Jesus. In everything we do as a church, let's represent him well to our community, to our family, to our friends. And let's be thankful for all that God's done for us. Let's make sure that we are people of gratitude. That thankfulness just comes straight from us. Why? Because we have a good God who's worthy of all of our worship, and we got to worship him well. We got to spur one another on. He's worthy of all our praise. He's worthy of everything we have to give. Let's live this day and tomorrow and the next. Let's live it for his glory. Let's show this world what it looks like to be transformed by our good and awesome God. Let's make it evident that God has done a miraculous work in us. Father, we thank you so much for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. We thank you, Father, that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness. Help us to fall more and more in love with your word and more in love with you. Lord, we pray that we will continue to be thankful, that we worship you well, and that everything we do, it's done in the name of Jesus. And it's in his mighty name we pray. Amen.